Today is Pesachim Daf Samachet. If you remember yesterday, we learned a memorah from Rabbi Yochanan, and it was also mashma this way, from the way the Gemara explained the sheet to the Tana Reb Shimon, that a Baal Keri Mishtaleach Chutz L'Shtei Machanot. We said that there are three Tmeim. There's the Tmeim Eight, the Zav, and the Mitzora. And they each get sent out from different encampments. So the Tmeim Eight is sent out from Machane Shechina. And the Zav is sent out from the Machane Levia, which would be like the Har Habayit, Bizmanazeh. And the Mitzora is sent out from Machane Yisrael, which would be the city of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara has a limud that a Baal Keri is Mishleach Chutz L'Shtei Machanot. If a person's a Baal Keri, has a seminal emission, he's viewed as more stringent than a Tmei Meid. And he's like a Zav that he sent out of two encampments. So he would not be allowed on the Har HaBayit. Okay, let's see on Samachet Amun Aleph, around the fifth line, the sixth line down. Meipay. So we ask a question against Rabbi Yochanan from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Mitzora Chamur Mizav. A Mitzora, a person with Saraz, is more stringent than a Zav. Mizav Chamur Mitmei Meit. And a Zav is more Chamur than Tmei Meit. So far, so good. Yetzah Baal Keri, but a Baal Keri is excluded, Sheh Tmei Meit Chamur Mimenu, because Tmei Meit is more stringent than him. So my Yetzah, what does it mean he's excluded? Lav Yetzah Miklal Zav Uva Leklal Tmei Meit. Is it not saying that he's excluded from the status of a Zav and he's included in the Tmei Meit? That's what we think the Bryce is saying. So Yetzah Baal Keri, that he's not included in the Zav. That's what we think. He's like the Tmei Meit. He says, Dehat Tmei Meit, Chamur Mimenu, Umutar Benach and Elavia. And it's logical because the Tmei Meit is more Chamur than a Baal Keri. Tmei Meit is Tamei for 7 days. A Baal Keri is only Tamei for 1 day. And a Tmei Meit is Lab Machan Elavia. So Mela, the Zav, would also be Lab Machan Elavia. So if our interpretation of the Bryce is correct, so Rabbi Yochanan is in Gak Tzuras. He says that the Zav is Mishleach Chutz L'Shtei Machanot. This Bryce, the way we understand it now, the Zav is only sent out like a Tmei Meit from one Machanot. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, that's not the shot in the Bryce." He says, "Yetzah Mimachanei Tmei Meit V'Nichlas L'Machanei Zav." In other words, that he's excluded from the Machanot that's Tmei Meit. And he's Nichlas L'Machanei Zav. In other words, he's excluded from the status of Tmei Meit. He's included like in the category with the Zav. The Afagav Tmei Meit Chamur Mimenu, and even though the Tmei Meit is more Chamur than him, Mutar Benachan Elavia. He says, and Tmei Meit is Mutar Benachan Elavia. So he says, Lamai Didami Lei Midamin Alei. Nevertheless, we compare the Baal Keri to the Zav. They both have Tuma coming from their guf. So it comes out like the Baal Keri is a little bit counterintuitive. On the one hand, a Tmei Meit is more Chamur than a Baal Keri, because a Tmei Meit is Tamei for 7 days, and the Tavra process is 7 days, and it needs to be sprinkled with the Efer Para Duma. Baal Keri just goes to the mikvah and he's Tahor that night. So you would think the Baal Keri should not be more Chamur than Tmei Meit, but contrary to what you would think, it comes out that the Baal Keri is treated like a Zav. The Zav has the flow coming from him, and the Baal Keri has the flow coming from him. And again, Rashi pointed, I didn't point this out to you yesterday, but Rashi pointed out in yesterday's daf, this was on Samech Zayin Amud Beis, around the eighth narrow line in Rashi from the top. He says, Zov Domen Loven Beitza Hamuzeret. He says, like Zov is similar to like a sort of like a rotten egg, like the white of a rotten egg, and Shechvat Zera Domen Loven Beitza She'enu Zeret, and Shechvat Zera is like the white from a fresh egg. So, but they're both like there's a white fluid that comes out both for Shechvat for Keri and for Ziva. So the Baal Keri is in Halacha is treated like the Zav. It's a little counterintuitive, but that's the way that goes. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts? Anything we've so far?
Would you mind explaining what a Zav is?
Yeah, a Zav is a man who has a type of flow coming from him, from his reproductive organs, and it's not Shechvat Zera, it's not semen, it's a different flow. And so that's what a Zav is. So that's the Zav. There's more dealing with Zav, but that's the basic idea. Okay?
Is that to have an English word for it?
Well, a lot of times they translate it as gonorrhea, But I don't know if that really fits in with what the way the Gemara and the Poskim are defining Zav. I don't know if that quite works out the same way. I don't know what to say. All right. All right. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says on the 10th line from the top on Samachet Amud Aleph, Tani Tana Kamid Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Tana, now here Tana, again, Tana has different definitions. Tana could mean like the, like, you know, a Tamil Chacham in the time of the Mishnah is called the Tana, but there's another definition of a Tana, and that was, he was an Amara, but he had a Bekiyas. He knew not only Mishnah, he knew a lot of Brises, and he didn't have books in those days. You need a Tana in the base Medrash, and he repeated all the Brises. So he says, so the Gemara says, Tani Tana coming to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. The Tana, meaning the one who knew all the Brises, taught the following Brises before Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. This is going to corroborate or ostensibly corroborate Rabbi Yochanan. It says in Parshas Ki Tetzei, Ve'ish ki, I can't remember the whole pasuk, but if a person is not tahor, mikrei laila v'yatzam lichutz l'machaneh. I can't remember the whole pasuk, but anyway, it says v'yatzam lichutz l'machaneh. So he'll leave the machaneh, zu machaneh shchina. He has to leave machaneh shchina. Lo yavo al tocha machaneh. He can't come into the midst of the machaneh. Zu machaneh leviyah. That's the machaneh leviyah. Mikan lebal keri sheyisei chutz shtei machanot. So it means like this: the pasuk is describing if a person is a bal keri. So the Torah says he'll be atzal mechutz lamachaneh. He'll go outside the machaneh. Lo yavo al tocha machaneh. He'll go in chutz l'machaneh, this machaneh shchina, lo yivo utoch manachaneh, the machaneh leviyah. So the Tana of Bryce says, here we see the Baal Keri, he has to be excluded from two machanot. So that sounds like it's on all fours what Rabbi Yochanan says, that a Baal Keri is thrown out of two machanot. So Amar Leis, so Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, said to the Tana, Akati lo ayalte apikte, you didn't even bring him into the, it means like this, that the way he is darshaning the Pasuk, the first clause says he's excluded from Machaneh Shechina. The second is, presumably, at that point, he'd be in Machaneh Leviyah. That's if he's outside the Machaneh Shechina. In other words, in the Midbar, Machaneh Shechina is where the Mishkan is. Then around him is Leviyah. That's Machaneh Leviyah. Then around him is the Machaneh Yisrael. So it says, he has some Michus Machaneh, Zu Machaneh Shechina. So presumably now he's in Machaneh Leviyah. And this is Lo Yavo Otocha Machaneh, Zu Machaneh Leviyah. That's like as if he's already outside the Machaneh Leviyah. So he says, Akati lo ayalte, you didn't even bring him into the Machaneh Leviyah apikte, and then you're excluding him from it. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, the flow of the Pesukim doesn't go right. Or Lishna Achrina, a different version of his statement is, Akati lo apikte, you didn't exclude him from the Machaneh Leviyah, ayilte, and now you're giving him, you know, instructions about what, that he's not allowed back in there. So Ella, so rather Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Ema, the way you should understand the Pesukim is, Michutz l'machaneh zu machaneh leviyah. In other words, you have the right, general right idea, but you have to darshan the Pesukim a little differently. Ella, Ema, Michutz l'machaneh zu machaneh leviyah. Michutz l'machaneh means he's a suitor for machaneh leviyah. Lo yavo tocha machaneh zu machaneh shchina. So in other words, he's outside the Machaneh Leviyah, and he can't come in Machaneh Shechina. So either way, it would support Rabbi Yochanan. So Matkiv LaRavina. So Ravina asked the Kasha, Eimim Idi LaMachaneh Shechina. Why can't I say that both clauses are referring to Machaneh Shechina? In other words, one clause will be Yatzal Michutz LaMachaneh, like an essay, and when Lo Yavo Otocha Machaneh is also talking about Mashechina. Maybe they're both talking about the same Machaneh. He says V'la V'orla V'essay V'lo Taaseh. And the Torah, sometimes the Torah has a prohibition, and you have your over on essay if you do it, and you're over on alotas if you do it. So why is it that necessarily two machaneh are involved here? Maybe it's one machaneh. Im kein lemekrav yatsal michutz l'machaneh v'lo yavo el toch. If that's all the Torah wanted to say in essay, in alotas, it would say yatsal michutz l'machaneh v'lo yavo el toch. You shouldn't go back inside. He says, Hamachaneh lamali. Why does it add the word hamachaneh? Shmominah l'tin l'machaneh acheret. See in machaneh acheret. Anyway, the basic idea is we learn a brisa which is on all fours, but we have to kind of understand the brisa a little differently than the way it was quoted. On all fours, Rabbi Yochanan, that a Baal Keri is sent out of two machanot, all right, which is machaneh shchina, machaneh leviyah. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
I have a question. In what way can a Baal Keri in some way resort to bringing a korban shogeg or a chatas?
Well, I understand who. Wait. I'm losing you, Ruth.
Who said
anything about a korban?
I am asking.
What is the question?
Before somebody is banished from a machane for being a Baal Keri,
right?
Does he have recourse to bringing a korban and avoiding being ousted?
No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you can't make up one thing with another thing. In other words, if you have tumah, you have to purge yourself of the tumah. He could send a korban and he being tameh also, but he can't eat the korban. He's tameh. All right.
But banishment is very extreme. Anyway,
it's not that extreme. Look, we're just saying, I mean, Baal Keri is just excluded from the Beis HaMikdash. Means he can't go to the Beis HaMikdash. He's a Baal Keri. He'll go to the mikvah, and that night he'll be in good shape. That's all that's involved. All right?
Okay.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Let's keep moving on. Ruth, remember to mute yourself. Okay? All right. So, all right. We're around 15 lines above where it gets wide on Samachet Manal, 68A, around 15 lines above where it gets wide. So it says near the two dots. Umichli Krava B'chuli. So coming back to the Mishnah that we did on Monday, which was Samachet Med Beis, it feels like so long ago in Daf Yomi life, but the Mishnah said that certain avodot by the Korban Pesach or Docha Shabbos, the Shechita, the Zrika, and Michui Kravav. Michui Kravav is like cleaning out the intestines. In other words, you have the Korban, let's say it's when Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos. So I have my lamb, I brought my lamb to the base of Mikdash, I shecht it. Certain organs are taken out to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but I have a heter to wash out or clean out the intestines, and the intestines are filled with fecal matter. And apparently, if I would leave it in there until evening, it would stink too much. So I want to clean it out right away. So that cleaning out the intestines, that's docha Shabbos. So it's the one idea. It might be a problem of dash. Could be one idea. Dash is like separating things out. That might be the malacha could be involved. Or another possibility, which I saw, is mamachek, that like you're going to scrape the intestines, and like when you make it smooth, that's mamachek. That might be another one. Okay, and that's I saw that in the Masivta, and that's the way I think Rabbi Packer was explaining, like scraping the intestines. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So michui kravav b'chulei, my michui kravav. What do those words mean? What are michui kravav? So the Gemara says Rav Huna Amar shemenach b'misakin. Huna says that you pierce the intestines with a knife. In other words, you'll puncture the intestines, and then all the matter will come out of it. That's the idea. So michui can mean michui can make a wound, like in other words, like to destroy the memory of Amalek. That could be one idea of michui. Or michui can mean to liquefy, and Rashi brings rise that it can mean to liquefy. So michui kravav, like I'll let the liquid, the fecal matter, pour out of the intestines. Okay, back in the Gemara. So he says it's the slime that leaves through the scraping with the sakin. In other words, like you'll take the knife and scrape out all the stuff. So in that case, michui means something which is very repugnant. So the idea was michui can mean to wound, to make the puncture. Michui can mean like to liquefy, or michui can mean something very repulsive. He says, Amar, Reblazar, my tamad the chibarav. So Reblazar said, what's the reason for chibarav? The chiv, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, v'chavot mechim garim yochelu, that the destroyed homes of the mechim, which is the key word we're trying to figure out, mechim are going to be the repugnant ones, garim yochelu, the sojourners will eat it. It means, like the homes of the Rishayim will be consumed by the Tzaddikim. That's the Nevuah from Yeshaya. So Rashi over there, the way the Arch was quoting it, v'charvot meichim, it means like the homes of the fat ones. That's the way he says it. But it's going to come out from the drush of the Gemara that meichim is going to be the rishayim, and rishayim is going to be like the repellent ones. And that's the meichim is michui. In other words, like that which is repellent is the michui. So he says here, my mashma, so what's the pshat in the pasuk? In targum Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef explains, means Rav Yosef's quoting the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. Rav Yosef had a Bekiyas in Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. That the property of the Rishayim will be inherited by the Tzaddikim. That's what the Pasuk means. So Becharvot Mechim, the destroyed homes of the Mechim are the Rishayim. So Michui, like space Rishayim, is something detestable. That's what it means. Okay, now, the Gemara, having mentioned this pasuk, is going to like veer off one pasuk to another pasuk to another pasuk. So, you know, you can put your seatbelt on. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Vira'u kvasim kidavram." Now, the Gemara, having quoted in the end of the pasuk, quotes the beginning of the pasuk in Yeshaya. He says, "Vira'u kvasim kidavram," that the sheep will graze kidavram like they're used to doing. But he says, "Amar Menashe bar Yirmiyah amarav kimedubarbam." So, Menashe bar Rav interprets kidavram. In other words, that the sheep is a metaphor for the tzaddikim. They will graze like has been said concerning them. So, my kimadu barbam, where was it said concerning the tzaddikim? Amar Abaye becharvot mechim garim yochelu. He says the next part of the pasuk, which was what we did, that the destroyed homes of the rishayim, the garim, the sojourners, will consume it. It means that the homes of the rishayim will be inherited by the tzaddikim. The sheep are the tzaddikim. So the sheep will graze like it's been stated, and then it has the end of the pasuk. So Amali Rava b'shlemi charvot kit ka'amard. He said, if there was no vav, it said charvot meichim yochelu, then I'd be with you. Ashta d'chtiv v'charvot, but the pasuk says an extra the vav in there v'charvot. He says miltach riti ka'amard. That implies that the second part is a different clause, not related to the first clause. El Amarava, Rav Hanan El Amarav. So rather, Rava says the beginning of the pasuk, which is V'ra'u kivasim kidavram, that the sheep will graze as has been spoken or, you know, prophesied concerning them, is like Rav Hanan says the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Hanan El Amarav, Atim Tzadikim Shechayu Ed Hameitim, that in the future the tzaddikim, the righteous people will resurrect the dead. He says, "Ktiv hacha v'ru kvasim kedavram." Here it says that the kvasim, the sheep, and the Gemara takes it that the sheep is a metaphor for the tzaddikim, that the sheep will graze kedavram as has been spoken about them. He says, "Uktiv hatam," and there's another pasuk in Micha. He says, "Yeru bashan v'gilad kimei olam," that they'll graze, that Bashan and Gilad will graze Kimei Olam as it did previously. It says, so the Gemara says, now the point is it's a Gzer Shava. Here it says Vira'u, and here it says Yiru. So he says Bashan ze Elisha. The word Bashan is a reference to Elisha Hanavi. He says, Haba min Bashan, who came from the Bashan. Now he's going to prove that Elisha came from the Bashan. The Bashan is an area in the east bank of the Jordan. He says, Shenemar, V'yani v'shafat b'Bashan, that Yani and Shafat in the Bashan is talking about the descendants of God. He says, Uchtiv po Elisha ben Shafat asher yitzach mayim al-Eliyahu. He says, so Shafat was Elisha's father, and Elisha's father came from the Bashan. So Elisha's from the Bashan. And then Gilad, then the reference to Gilad in the Pasuk that we quoted three lines above got wide, now on the very wide line, he says, Gilad ze Eliyahu. That's a reference, an oblique reference to Eliyahu Anavi. He says, Shenemar v'yomer Eliyahu tishbi mitoshave Gilad v'gomer. Eliyahu hatishbi mitoshave Gilad. So Bashan is a reference, we take it to Elisha. And Gilad is a reference to Eliyahu Navi. So means both of them were Mechayim Esim, both of them resurrected the dead. right? So Eliyahu, there's an incident in the Navi where Eliyahu resurrected the dead, and there's an incident with Elisha where he resurrected the dead. So that's Pasuk. It's Yiru and Vira'u. It's Gzereshava saying in the future, the Kvasim, the sheep, which are the Tzaddikim, they'll be Mechayim Esim. Okay? So let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause. The first wide line on Samachet Amanav, 68a, the first wide line. Okay? So he says, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan, Atitim Tzaddikim Sheikha Yumeitim. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, Rabbi Yonatan, in the future, Tzaddikim are also a different proof. Tzaddikim are going to be Mechayim Eitim. They're going to cause the dead to be resurrected. Shinemar, Odishus Kinim is Kinop Rechovot Yushalayim, Vishma Shantobi Ado, Merov Yamim. That old people and old women will still be in the Rechavot of Yerushalayim, and everybody, and the man will have his staff in his hand, his cane in his hand. He says, Merov Yamim, he'll live so long, he'll have a cane. So he says, Uchtiv v'samtam shanti al panei anar. It's like also, it's like Gezer Shava. It says by Elisha with the Shunamit that, you know, it's the Haftorah for Parshas Vayera. So you remember the Shunamit, the Elisha promises that she'll have a child. She has a child, and then she dies, and she comes to Elisha. So Elisha tells the Gehazi, take my staff and put it on the Nar. And then anyway, so he says here, just like Mishanti, just like Elisha was able to be Chaim Eitim, so he says in the Pasuk, where it refers Mishanto Biado, that's also that they'll be able to be Chaim Eitim. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Okay, let me just go to the end of the omelet. Okay, the third wide line. Ula Rami, again, we're going from item to item to item. So we started off with what it means in the Mishnah about Mihui Kravav, and then we went one thing to another thing. So Ula Rami, Ula posts a contradiction of Sukim. One Pasuk says that death will be consumed forever, means nobody's going to die at some point in the future. He says, Uchtiv, Kihanar ben Meyashana Yamut. And another Pasuk says, like in the future, like a young man will be 100 years old. In other words, he'll live a long time, but he'll be a young man at 100. But the implication be he will die as well. So is it people will die or won't die? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kam b'Yisrael, kam ba'akum. That the Pasuk says people won't die is talking about the Jewish people. The Pasuk says that that people will live a long time, that's talking about the non-Jews. He says, What are non-Jews going to be doing around? It sounds like Yimot HaMashiach. Says, Dechtiv, Yamdu Zarim, V'ra'utzon chem v'nei nechar, Ikarechem v'kormechem. It says that strangers, it means Gentiles, will come, graze your sheep, and non-Jews will be your farmers and those who take care of your vineyards. Okay. Rav Chista Rami Ktiv, Chafra Levana Bosha Hachama. One pasuk says that the Levana will be embarrassed, the moon will be embarrassed, the sun will be embarrassed, means that they'll lose their luminescence. He says, Uchtiv, Vayatwara Levana Kurachama. Another pasuk says that the light of the Levana, the light of the moon, will be like the light of the sun. Vorachama yesh shivatayim, and the light of the sun will be, shivatayim means 7 by 7, 7 times 7, 49 times. He says, ki'or shivatayamim. 49 times the seven, like the light of 7 days put together. So it means the Rashi takes it 49 times 7, is 343, I think, right? What does he have? However it comes out to. 343 times brighter. He says, so is it that there won't be light or there'll be greater light? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kam li olam haba, kam li mod HaMashiach. In olam haba, the luminaries will not be so bright because you'll have the Shekhinah will give you whatever, you know, brightness you need. But in Yimos HaMashiach, they'll be very bright. So he says, But according to Shmuel, he says there's no difference between the Yimon Mashiach and today. The only difference between the Yimon Mashiach and today, everything is the same, except like the political situation for the Jewish people, Shibud Malchio, that they won't be, you know, subject to the whims of other nations. He says, so he'll say, they're both talking about Olam Haba. In other words, in the Machane Shechina, so they won't be so bright because it's just Hashem's, you know, brightness will pervade there. But in the Machane Tzadikim, so where the Tzadikim are, then they'll be very bright there. Okay, Rava Rami Ktiv, Ani Amit V'Achaye. Rava poses the contradiction to Pesukim. It says, Ani Amit V'Achaye, is in Parshas HaZinu. I, Hashem, put to death and give life. Uktiv machatzi vanirpa. I wound and I bring refu, I bring healing. Hasha uhui mache mirapala kol shekain. If God is, the Gemara takes it that God is machai meitim, in other words, from the psukim, that he puts person to death and the same person he resuscitates. And so if he can resuscitate the dead, he can certainly heal those who are wounded. Ela amar kadosh baruch hu, Masha ani memir, ani mechayeh. He says, no, in other words, I could have interpreted the pasuk to say, I kill A and I give life to B, not that it's the same person. So the second part of the pasuk is telling me, Hashem is saying, the person that I kill, I give life to, kemosha machatzi bani arpa. Just like I wound and I give refuah to the Reuven, so too I could be meimit and mechayeh for Reuven. Okay, let me just two more lines and we'll see. Tan Rabbanan, we learn the braisa. Ani amif achaya, I take life away and I give life. Yechol mita bechad v'chaim ba'acher. I'm kedar shalom noheg. I might have thought it's referring to two different people, like you see in the way of the world. You kill this person, and then another person's born. Tamalomer machatzi v'anir pa. So the end of the pasuk says, I wound and I bring refua. Mamaka refua bechad, just like the wounding and the refua is the same person. Av mita bechaim bechad. So to the earlier part of the pasuk, the same person. Mikan shuvel omrim ein tchid hametim in a Torah. So here is like a response for people who said there's no proof from the Torah about Tchiyas HaMeisim. So here, actually, this week's parsha, we have a remnant of Tchiyas HaMeitim is in Az Yashir, that in the Chazal teach us in the Moshiach, the Moshe and Bnei Israel will be resuscitated and say the Shira. But here is also like a raya for Tchiyas HaMeisim. He says, Ani Amit V'Achayeh. Davar acher, b'tchila ma sh'ani meimit ani mechayeh, v'hadar ma sh'machatzi ani erpa. Or a different pshat in the pasuk is, first, I'll resuscitate the person, I'll resurrect the person, but he may have had ailments. He may have been blind. He may have been lame. So first, I'll resuscitate him the way he was when he was alive. And then stage two, I'll bring him, give him refuah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? All right, let's go to Ahmed Bayes.
Why not bring him alive, fully healed?
What? Say again. Repeat.
Why not bring him back to life, fully healed, instead of
fully healed? Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I could think of is that maybe we want the person to, you know, be greater hodah when you do it in two stages. Otherwise, I don't know why it's done in two stages. I mean, that's the way it comes to my way of thinking. Like, you know, then you experience like this refuah, and you're grateful that Hashem gave you tchisam esim. Then you're grateful if you were blind, now you could see. You're grateful if you were lame, now you're healed. That's the way I would think, but I don't know. All right, let's take a look on some Samachenam Beis. Okay, so the top line, 68b, Samachenam Beis, the top line. The Hekter Chalavav V'chulei. So we said that one of the things that's Docha Shabbos, again, we're talking about when Erev Pesach's on a Shabbos, like this year. So we learned in the Mishnah that the Hekter Chalavim, that the burning of the fats on the Mizbeach on Shabbat is Docha Shabbat. The burning of the fats could be Melechet Mavir. It could be like adding to the fire. You know, when you have fat on the fire, it adds, it increases the fire. Or it could be mevashel, cooking. But either way, it's a malacha doraisa. Nevertheless, the hekter chalavim is permissible on Shabbat. That's what the Mishnah said, that the hakterat chalavav is docha Shabbat. So the hekter chalavav chulei, Tanya Amar Reb Shimon, we learned the braisa that the Tanya Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, said, Bo rei, kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, how beloved is a mitzvah in its proper time. Shrei hekter chalavim ve'evarim u'ptarim, shirim kol laila. Because offering the fats, the evarim are the limbs, and ptarim are also a type of fat are Kshirim Kula Laila. It could be done the whole night. So it doesn't have to be done on Shabbat. It could be done on Leil Yantiv. He says, the aim am tinan lahem ach tech shach, but we don't wait till after Shabbat. We do it right today on Shabbat. So chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. You see how beloved is a mitzvah in its proper time. All right. Any questions? All right, let me go on. Then harkava tova v'tova chuli. So if you remember in the Mishnah, we said that carrying the lamb and bringing it out from outside tchum and chatichat yabalto, cutting off its wart. If the lamb has got, lamb or the kid, has got a wart, so the wart is a mum. You want to get the wart off the lamb before it's offered as a korban. So the Tanakhama, we learned to machloket tanaim in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to cut off the wart on Shabbat, because it's something you could have done before Shabbat, so it's not Docha Shabbat. And the Tana Reb Lezer says, no, you can go ahead and you can cut the wart off on Shabbat. And remember, the Tana Reb Lezer holds that even Machshiri Mitzvah are Docha Shabbat, right? That's Reb Lezer, the Shitato holds in Reb Lezer Demila, that the Machshiri Mitzvah are Docha Shabbat. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara on the fifth line. Har kavatova batova chulei ruminu. So this we pose a contradiction from the Mishnah. So our Mishnah, let's focus on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama holds in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to cut off the wart of the animal on Shabbat. So ruminu, we're going to pose a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechet Erevin. It says chodchin yabel b'mikdash avolo b'medina. It says you're allowed to cut off the wart in the base of Mikdash, but not in the Medina outside the base of Mikdash. Simple shot in the Braisa, I would think, is that it's prohibited on a Drabbanan level, so ain shvut b'mikdash, so therefore I could cut off the wart in the base of Mikdash, but not outside the base of Mikdash. V'im b'chli kan v'kan asur. But if I'm using a kli, kan v'kan asur. So kli would be malacha d'raisa, that's prohibited. But with b'yad, it would only be din Drabbanan. That, l'chora, is what it's saying. So now we... Now, this Mishnah is not like the Tana Reb Lezer in our Gemara, right? The Tana Reb Lezer in our Mishnah says that you are allowed to cut off the Yabelet, but this Mishnah can't be like Reb Lezer because this Mishnah says in Bechli Kan V'Kanasur, with the Kli, it's prohibited in the base of Mikdash as well, and Tana Reb Lezer would hold it's permissible. So it's not like the Tana Reb Lezer. So let's focus on the Chachamim. So it means the Chachamim, who in our Mishnah hold, you're not allowed to cut off the wart. How do we reconcile that sheet to the Chachamim with this Mishnah Masechet Erevin says that you are allowed to cut off the Yabelet on the Mikdash with your hand? So Reb Lazer, Reb Yossi, Bar Chanina, Chanamar Idi Vidi Biyad. So Reb Lazer and Reb Yossi Bar Chanina, one of the two holds that both Mishnayot are talking about cutting off the wart with your hand. He says, Habalacha Habi Yavesha. But one is talking about a moist wart. A moist wart is worse. Moist wart would be the one that's prohibited. Habi Biyabasha. But if it's a dry wart, then it's permissible. In other words, the dry wart is not like gozes. It was just like breaks apart. So gozes is when you have something after you cut it off. You don't have nothing when you cut it off. So within that first pshad, it would come out not the way I said. So it would come out when the Mishnah in Erevin says chodchin yabel b'mikdash, it means with your hand, and it means if it's a dry wart. So it's complete heter, not that it's prohibited on a drabanan level. You're completely mutar with a dry wart. He says, but with a kli, that's prohibited on a drabanan level. It looks more like a malacha. He says, though, b'charamar idib idib malacha. One holds, no, they're both talking about a moist wart. He says, v'lo kasha habiyad habikli. That our Mishnah is talking about cutting off with a kli, and that's prohibited. And that Mishnah Masechet Erevin is talking about cutting it off with your hand, and that's permissible in the base of Mikdash. And that would be the Drabbanan. That second shot would fit in with the way I had explained the Mishnah initially. So now the Gemara wants to touch up. Why does each one not hold the way the other one holds? Ulaman damar habiyad habikli. So according to the one who says the last opinion, that the Mishnah Erevin is talking about cutting it off with the hand, our Mishnah is cutting it off with the kli, my tamalamar idib idib yad. Why does he not subscribe to the other opinion, which is they're both talking about cutting with the hand, lokasha balacha bivesha. One is talking about where it was moist and one where it was dry. I should have said yivesha, right? I said yabasha before. Yabasha is dry land. Yivesha is dry. I made a mistake in the diktuk, okay? Habi yivesha. So he says, so Amar Lach, so he would say, yivesha mifrach pricha. says Yevesha, it falls apart. So if it falls apart, there's no, in the Mishnah Erevin, the way he's saying that it's talking about Yevesha, where it falls apart. If it falls apart, even with a keli, it shouldn't be asur if it falls apart. It's not malachat gozes. He says, Ulaman damar idi biyad, and according to the opinion, it says they're both talking about removing the wart with the hand. Below kasha balacha abivesha, our Mishnah is talking about a moist wart, and that's talking about a dry wart. He says, my tamalamar idi balacha, why does he not subscribe to the other opinion that it's both talking about moist warts? Below kasha habiyad habakli, one is talking about taking it off with the yad, one with kli. Now, our Mishnah is talking about a kli, and the Mishnah Erevin is talking about biyad. Why does he not subscribe to that? Amarlach, he would say to you, Kli hakatani hatam im b'kli kan v'kan asur. So, in other words, that pshat doesn't work in so well because that mission is talking about, in other words, the idea is that our mission is talking about if you cut off with a kli, it's prohibited. The mission Erevin is talking about without a kli, that's permissible. But the mission Erevin also says that if it's a kli, it's prohibited. So there's no reason to teach Allah again in our Mishnah. He says, v'idach, the other one would say, you're right. The reason he teaches me Kli here, you're right. Kli, it's pretty clear. It's Asur from the Mishnah in Sechet Erevin, which we had already. But Plukt the Reb Lezer Rabbi Yeshua Atal Shminon. He wants to teach me the Machloket Reb Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, in Akinami, the fact that taking off the wart with a Kli, that's prohibited. So I know from the Sechet Erevin. But the Chiddush here is that Reb Lezer is Mechulik with this. All right. So again, we were touching up the line, really just the two Mishnayot together. Our Mishnah says cutting off the wart is poison. The Mishnah Nehruvin says cutting off the wart is okay. So it's either that our Mishnah is talking about moist wart and that's talking about dry wart, or our Mishnah is talking about Bekli and that's talking about Biyad. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, quiet group tonight. Okay, let's keep going further on the Gemara. All right, we're around, 40% down the column near the two dots. So Amar Blazer, now let's go back. In the Mishnah, if you remember, we had a discussion between the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Blazer about doing a shvut. You know, according to the Tana Kama, which Rabbi Yeshua is defending, you're allowed to do things which are deraisa is prohibited, like do the shechita of the lamb on Shabbat. But I can't take the lamb, I can't carry the lamb, even though it's chai no seid atzmo, I can't carry the lamb to the base of Mikdash, and I can't take the lamb from outside the tchum, and I can't cut off the belet, I can't cut off the wart on Shabbat. Because all of those things I could have done before Shabbat. All of those I could have done before Shabbat. So it's not Docha Shabbat, according to the Tana Kama. And Reb Lezer says, no, they're all Docha. So Reb Lezer says, look, if the Torah says that Shechita, if I'm allowed to shech the lamb, I'm allowed to do Malacha Doraisa, I can certainly do these other things which are prohibited only in rabbinic level. I can certainly do those. And so Rabbi Yeshua says, no. He says, Shechita, so Rabbi Shua says Yantiv will prove that's not true, because in Yantiv we see that you're allowed to do Melechet Ochel Nefesh, but I can't do Durabanans, right? So what would be, what's the one second, give me one second. Yeah. Let's say carrying something from outside the tchum, right? So I can't violate the dinim derabanan on yantiv for ochel nefesh. So the fact that I have a green light for a malacha deraisa doesn't mean that the derabanans fall by the wayside. So Reb Lezer says, yeah, but here I'm talking about a mitzvah. That's a reshus. I'm talking about a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that says, say, bring korban pesach on yantiv. You want to have a meal? It's up to you or not. Okay, that's the thing. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the two dots. So Amr Blazer, Mayim Shechita B'chulei, Rabbi Yeshua L'tamei. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah didn't quote Rabbi Yeshua's responses, but now we have his response. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua L'tamei, Damar Simchat Yantav Nami Mitzvahi. Rabbi Yeshua holds that eating, the two are comparable, because eating a meal on Yantav is also a mitzvah. He says, Tani, we learn in the Braisa, and this is a famous Gemara. He says, Rabbi Blazer Omer, you could pick one of two options on Yontif. Either you spend your day eating and partying, or you spend your day learning Torah. I think within Reb Lezer, there's two shitas. Someone would say, dafka, learning the whole day, and you're not even eating. Someone would say, like, you eat like the minimus, and you learn the whole day. But you get the idea. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Chalkeu Chesil Achilo Shtia, Vechesil Levein HaMedrash. Rabbi Yeshua says you divide the day into two halves, half for eating and drinking, half for the base medrash. And this machloket among poskim, does it mean exactly half and half, or it just means like part and part? So before we bring the raya, but the idea is that Rabbi Yeshua holds Mela is a mitzvah of achila on Yontif. So Rabbi Lezer says, no, you can spend the whole day learning, whatever. But Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's a mitzvah of eating. So the two cases are comparable. So on Erev Pesach, I have the Korban Pesach. But on Yontif, eating is also Melachat Ochel Nefesh. It's also a kind of mitzvah. And so in both instances, Rabbi Yeshua says, the fact that I could shecht an animal doesn't mean that the rabbanon fall by the wayside. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shnei Mikra Chadarshu. Rabbi Yochanan says that both of them, i.e., Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they both darshen out the same pasuk and arrive at different conclusions. Ketuvakat or psukim. Ketuvakat omer atzeret l'Hashem l'kecha. One pasuk says atzeret l'Hashem l'kecha yantiv for Hashem your God. Ketuvakat omer atzeret tielachem. You'll have an atzeret for yourselves. Let's savar o kula shem o kula chem. Subs, you pick whichever one you want. Rabbi Shu savar chachil chesil Hashem and chesil chem, half and half. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I did so far? All right, very quiet group tonight, but let's go further. Okay, we're up to the parentheses Abam Siman, which is the mnemonic device for the coming Gemaras. Or it's usually the ayin, I assume, is at Seret. So I didn't go through the. Let me see. Does he explain the mnemonic device? Let's say, yeah, he does. He says, yeah, so it's Aseret, and the base is Shabbat, and the Mem is Purim. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Abam Siman, Amr Blazar, Akmon Batseret Devayin Anami Lachem. Everybody agrees that on Shavuos means even the Tana Reb Lezer will agree that on Shavuos you need Lachem, you need like the mitzvah for eating. He says, Ma'itama Yom Shin Nebo Torahu. Today the Torah was given. So this seems somewhat counterintuitive. There are different answers that are given. Anybody have an answer they want to give? All right, well, one answer is given by the Beis Halevi. He says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, so there was a kitrug in Shemayim, like the Malachim said, what are you giving Torah to mortal man? So Hashem said, do you remember when... And you went down and you had a meal by Avram Avinu, so you ate milchiks and fleishiks together. You had milk and meat, and the people they'll be careful in Torah. They'll observe the dinim of not mixing milk and meat. So we see that the fact that we are like gashmi, the fact that we're more materialistic. That's why we're zocha to have the Torah. I could be messing this up a little bit. There's also another medrash that says, let me try. I need the Beis Halevi. One second. If you want to hold on a second, I get it. Anyway, there's other medrashim that say like that was a kitrik in Shemayim. The Gemara learns out that. But I think it's with the food. That's what I think with the food. I think that's the way it comes out. All right. So the idea is that the fact that we're gashmi, that's why we're zochet to receive the Torah. So that's why on Shavuos when we commemorate the giving of the Torah, we serve it that way. All right, now, okay. Amar Rabba, Hakomodim b'Shabbat to be nami lachem. Rabba says that everybody agrees that on Shabbos you have a mitzvah of eating. He says, Ma'itam karat l'Shabbat oneg. You call Shabbos an oneg. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hakomodim b'Purim to be nami lachem. Rabbi Yosef says on Purim, which is coming up, everybody agrees you need lachem. Ma'itami me mishtav simcha k'tiv bay. This is me mishtav simcha. So the 3 days that we have that everybody agrees you have to eat are Shabbos, Shavuos, and Purim. So there's a binyan Shlomo, where Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, he was a dayan in Vilna. Is it, to be a Dayan in Vilna, you know you're really like a big Talmid Chacham, because Vilna itself was a city all Talmid Chachamim, and he's a Dayan there. Anyway, so Rosh Shlomo Kohen of Vilna, he's back in many Gemaras. In the back of the Gemara, you'll see him. He has a brother, Rabbi Tzalaha Kohen, and you have Rav Shlomo Kohen. So he wrote Shas and Shuvas Binyan Shlomo. So in his Shas and Shuvas, and I think I heard this first from Rabbi Simon. He goes over, he connects this to, the Shiltot, in the beginning, in the Shiltot, he says, like, you know, he describes Shabbos. He says that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and then it says he blessed the seventh day, Shabbos. So the Shiltot says, like, a person who builds a structure, and he's done hanging the doors, complete, so he makes a big party, makes a Chanukah Sabayit. So in the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made like a party, and we have to do the same thing on Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Kohen of Vilna says that when Hashem created the world, the world was created only for the sake of the Jews who would receive the Torah. If we wouldn't receive the Torah, he was going to put it back to Tohu Vavohu. So therefore, there's a mitzvah like of eating and partying at each one of three occasions. Shabbos, we commemorate the physical creation of the world. And then you have Shavuos when we accepted the Torah, but then on Purim, like on Shavuos, it was forced on us, like the Kafalim Har Kigigit. But then on Purim, Chazal teaches Kimu B'Kiblu, they willingly accepted the Torah. So it's like, and each one of those elements forms a part of like the partying for the creation of the world. And that's why you have a mitzvah of eating on each one of those 3 days. All right, let's see further in the Gemara.
So there's no mitzvah of eating on Sukkot and Pesach.
No. Again, we said there's a machlok between the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yeshua. We pass him like Rabbi Yeshua. According to the Tana, Rabbi Yeshua, you have a mitzvah of eating on every yantiv. But the Gemara said that everyone, means Sai Rabbi Yeshua, Sai Rabbi Elazar, will agree that there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, on Shavuos, and on Purim. So why those 3 days? Why are those so special? Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. All right, now the Mar Barei D'Ravina, Kula Shato Haviyati B'Tanito. So Mar Barei D'Ravina would fast all the whole year, fasting every day. L'bar Me'asarto Purim Ala Yom Kippure, except for Atzeres, which is Shavuos, Purim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Atzeres Yom Shnei Nebo Torah. Atzeres is the day the Torah was given. We discussed that. Purim May Mishta B'Simcha Ktiv. And Purim says days of partying. He says, Mala Yom Kippure, and as far as Erev Yom Kippur is concerned, the Tani Chibar Rav Midifti, his Chibar Rav Midifti teaches the following brisa, V'nitim Nav Shotechem D'Shalach Chodesh. You should afflict yourselves on the ninth of the month, which means the ninth of Tishrei, simple pshat. The Chibatisha Mitanin, Velo Ba'asiri Mitanin. Do you really fast on the ninth? You fast on the tenth. Now, there's one drasha that Chazal have that it teaches you Tosefet Yom Kippurim, and from there an extension to this mitzvah to be Mosif Mechol HaKodesh by Yom Kippur and by Shabbos, to add on from the weekday. So that's one way to understand the Pasuk. The Batisha LaKodesh, you're going to take a little bit of the ninth and add it on to the tenth. But If Rashi takes it that we'll learn that from a different pasuk. In other words, there is a mitzvah Mosi Mechol HaKodesh. We'll learn that from a different pasuk. But he says, but this is the other thing is to say that if you eat on the ninth, it's like you fasted on the tenth. El Lamar Lachakol Okam Shota B'Tishabo Ma'alav K'tov Kilu Mitanet Shiva Asiri. It's like you fasted the ninth and the tenth. And there's a whole lot of big machlokot with this. Is the eating on the Bekitzur, is the eating on the ninth connected to the fasting on the tenth, or is it an independent mitzvah? So if it's connected to the fast, then only those people who are going to be fasting have to eat. If it's not connected to the fast, then it could be something else. And one big chakira is, are women obligated to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So if it's connected to the fast, women are chayav in the fasting Yom Kippur, then they're obligated to eat. But if it's not connected to the fast, then it's a mitzvah man grama, and we would be pturot from it. One second. Now there's another drasha. I mean, temenav shotechem shalachodesh. That this is Rav Simon has this in his sefer. I don't remember who says it right now, but he says he says that you'll have to fast on the ninth of Av. In other words, he says What's the rest of the pasuk? He says, yeah, Tishbetu Shabbatchem. In other words, as long as Yom Kippur is all about yourselves, in other words, as long as like it's working off the Zohar says that people on Yom Kippur, they say, hav, hav, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing. It's like a dog, like the dog pants, hav, hav, hav. So hav means give me, give me, give me, give me. So everybody on Yom Kippur, like their approach to the Kaddish Baruch Hu is give me, give me, I have my whole list of things, give me, give me, give me. And they're not thinking, you know, I want to serve Hashem. You know, in other words, like I should have things just to serve Hashem. It's just like, give me this, give me that, give me the other thing. So as long as it's Shabbatchem, it's all about you. So then B'Tshalach Chodesh, you're going to fast on the ninth of Av. That'll continue on until you change your attitude. All right, that's a Hasidic word. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Okay, so we're around 6 lines above where it gets wide. Okay, Rav Yosef Biomadat Sarta, Rav Yosef on the day of Shuas Amar Abdili Eglatilta, make me Eglatilta. Eglatilta is a term of art, it comes up throughout Shas. It's either means the calf, this the third born calf, or it means very fat calf, or he says Amar Eloha Yoma the Kagarim were not for this day, Kami Yosef Yikabashuka. Like there are a lot of people named Yosef. I wouldn't be different than anybody else. So what does this mean? So I saw some Pshatim today. I'll tell you in a minute. Let me try to remember. All right. Yeah. So one shot I saw is like this: that Rav Yosef, remember, he was the Sinai. He was the Baki and all the Bryces. So we had tremendous memory. So it comes out. The pshat I saw was that the Torah is like the kiddushin. The Torah is like the kesef kiddushin. Like it's an erusin between a Kaddish Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So Kaddish Baruch Hu, he could have been Mekaddish, you know, himself, said he gave it to a shliach, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like kiddushin al yidei shliach. So Chazal teach us that because it was given through a shliach, if Hashem had given it to us himself, nobody would have forgotten anything. But since he gave it through a shliach, so therefore there's shikha. So one shot is that Rav Yosef was saying, like, if there was no, in other words, my whole mila is I have this fantastic memory. I remember all the Bryces. But Elav Hayom Dekagarim, or not for this day, means this day that Hashem gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. Because this day, it's like the Gemara learns in Masechet Shabbat. It's like, you know, Brich Rachmana, the Yavlan, orientally taught, he gave us a threefold Torah, Torah Nevi Mektuvim. He says, Al Yidei, like he gave it to the third person. Moshe Rabbeinu was the third born child. And he gave it to the threefold nation that's composed of Konim Levim Yisraelim. And biyomatlita, he gave it on the third day of the Shloshes, in the midst after the third day of Shloshes Mei Hagbala. So since he did it all with all those threes, so now people forget. So I have a mila. Or the another pshat that I saw is that Rav Yosef was blind, and so Mamela, he was eno mitzuva ose. So if the Torah had not been given, so then every, like Klal Yisrael would have done the mitzvot without being mitzvah. They all would have been the same as Rav Yosef. So now, in other words, my mila is I'm eino mitzvah ose, like I'm not commanded, but I do it, and that's my mila. I don't know. Anyway, so then the question is, though, is he's an anav, so how can he go around saying to you all these things, this I'm so special. So What was the pshat that I saw with this? 1 minute. Wait a second. No. I missed something up. Yeah, there's another piece. He says like this, that I'm sorry. That was the last pshat. He says like this, that Rav Yosef was saying with that he forgot his learning. Rav Yosef forgot his learning, and Abaye helped him get it back. So Ilav Hayom Dekagarim, he says that through Matan Torah teaches us that the Torah is given, but the Shivrei Luchot are also put in the Aron. The Brooklyn tablets are also placed in the Aron. So because of that, I still get kavod, even though I forgot my learning. That's another pshat in Rabbi Yosef. Ilav Hayom Dekagarim, where not for this day that you see you get the Luchot, but then they were broken, and his Shivrei Luchot was from the Aron. That was it. And then the last piece that I said to you before, where it says about, where he was saying, how could he do it? It's like an arrogance to say it. So he's saying, no, like he was saying, I'm not Mitzuva Va'osa, and that's why I'm getting credit. But if weren't for this day, so everybody would be Einu Mitzuva Va'osa. All right, that's all I have with this. Okay, let me go further. Now, Okay, we're around four lines above the wide lines on Samachenu Beis Aron Moshe. Okay, so he says Rav Sheshet Kotlatin Yom in Mahadalei Talmudei. So Rav Sheshet every 30 days he chazer his learning, which seems like an idea in Chazal that you should chazer your learning every 30 days. It says remember that Rav Chiya Bar Abba would chazer every 30 days his Torah before Rav Yochanan, and here Rav Sheshet would chazer. Rav Sheshet was also blind; he would also review his learning every 30 days. V'tali v'koy be'ivra d'dasha, and he would lean and stand by the door bolt. It's interesting. In my art school, I don't know if they corrected in yours. In my art school, it says that he would stand and lean, but it's the other way around, right? He'd lean and stand. He used to tali b'koi. Tali is to lean and koi is to stand. Ba'amar, and he said, chadai nafshoi, chadai nafshoi. You should rejoice my soul, lach kuroi, lach tenoi. It's for you that I read the Pesukim, for you that I do the Mishnayot. So, in other words, like he's saying, like you know, like my nefesh, you should get, you know, sipuk nefesh from all the learning that I'm doing. So Enes is true. V'amar Blazar Elmalei Torah Lo Nekaimu Shamayim Va'aretz. If it were not that the Torah was given, the earth and the heavens and the earth wouldn't be able to be sustained. Shneimar Lo Briti Elmalei Lachukot Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. Were it not for my Brit, my covenant, which means the Torah, which applies day and night. So Chukot Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. All the laws that keep the universe in place, I wouldn't put them there. So why is he just? Acknowledging only his personal benefit, that's Rav Sheshet. Why doesn't he say like the whole universe would fall apart? He says, when a person undertakes Torah study, initially he undertakes it with himself in mind. All right, let me do three more lines, that'll be it. So I'm Rav Ashi, Ulamai Dekamer Rav Lezer, Nami, Yanta Rishut, Itlei Pircha. Okay, so remember in the Mishnah, Rav Lezer Yeshua had a machloket. Rav Lezer was machalik between the Korban Pesach and Yantav, which is Rishut. So Rabbi Shua held that eating on Yantav is a mitzvah, so it's the same thing. Rav Lezer held that eating on Yantav is a Rishut. It's optional because you don't necessarily have to eat. You could study the Torah the whole day. So the two aren't comparable. The fact that on Yantav you could shecht, but you're still bound by Dinim Durabanan, doesn't necessarily carry through to the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says there's a pircha, a question we can ask against Reb Lezer, even if assuming that he holds that eating on yantiv is a rishut. And he says this, my yantiv shitir bo malacha shel rishut, lo hitir shvut she'ima. On yantiv, the Torah permits a malacha that's rishut. In other words, I could shecht or cook for yantiv, which is rishut, according to the Tan Reb Lezer. And notwithstanding that, I can't do the drabanans with it. Shabbat shlo yitir ba el malacha shel mitzvah. On Shabbat, I'm only allowed a malacha of a mitzvah, and it was the mitzvah I could do the malacha. Eino din shtotzir shvut sheima. So, in other words, we think that the shvut will rise or fall with the malacha. So, on yantiv in Akhenami, the malacha is a rishut, and the shvut is a rishut. So, so I can only do the deraisa. I can't do the rabbanan. So, where it's a mitzvah, also the deraisa, also the rabbanan. So the top line of Samatenim Aleph, for Reb Lezer would say, Shvut de mitzvah ad diflei. Reb Lezer would say, no, that a derabanan that's connected to a mitzvah is of far greater significance. So the fact that the Chachamim didn't permit you to do a shvut when the underlying malacha is a din, a rishus, doesn't mean that they wouldn't permit you to do the shvus when the underlying malacha is a mitzvah. And Reb Lezer would reject that comparison. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? All right, let me see if there's anything else to say here. There's some more of these sheets here in the other place. One second, look. One second. All right, I think we covered this. I think we're good. Okay, so that's it. Okay, let me end the recording. One second. Where's the move things around here? All right.